It helps you when you have to take minutes.
Yeah, it really does. I'll show you what I was talking about. So right up here, see where it says REC, and then this kind of...
All that's going how
you
that.
Know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how you know.
And it light up too, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I got 9 o'clock on here. Mm-hmm. And everybody's here, so I'll call the meeting to order, and I'll verify the posting of the meeting notice was done. And number three is the approval of the minutes of the April 16th Finance Committee meeting.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Approval of invoices and proposals.
Okay. I've got the April invoice for Klein McCarthy. I've got payment app number 8 for the jail project. Got period ending May 7th for the audit, Johnson Black. I just wanted to bring to your attention, I have an unemployment invoice. So we budgeted $2,500 for unemployment insurance, and this new bill here is for $1,449. I've already paid out $2,200. We're going to be going over. And this is Eckerd. So just so you're aware that we are starting to go over. I don't know if you want me to keep bringing these back as I receive them, or how, you know, if
I think it's a good idea. Okay. As long as we're, you know, it's not like we're doing anything special here, but we'll keep track then. And I suppose we'll be taking that contingency.
That's what I'm wondering. Do you want me to deplete this account to zero and that now start taking it out of contingency?
Would.
Okay, because I am going to go over with this one.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got the second installment for the general liability and auto liability insurance.
Some big ones this week.
Mm-hmm. Hope you got enough money in the bank, Dee. Okay. All right, I do need some clarification on some of these county promotional contributions that have come in. So I received this Prairie du Chien Historical Society invoice, and they're asking for $4,500 for the 2025 budget year. I have... on my little chart here, so it's the Prairie du Chien. Prairie du Chien is different from the Crawford County, correct?
Right.
So the PDC Historical Society, it looks like we had budgeted $1,500 from the county promotional, and then we also, PDC Historical, another $2,500 from the Ho-Chunk money, which is
$4,000. Okay.
So I'm not sure, they're asking for $45,000, so, and we only budgeted $4,000. I'm not sure why there's that difference of $500.
No, I think we should just do what we budgeted for.
Okay, the $4,000?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you guys all initial that. Another one I received was the Wisconsin-Mississippi River Parkway Commission. This is another one. I'm not really sure. Sherry has on here $1,500 she's requesting, but we only budgeted $1,000. So I look back on our minutes from the finance meeting, And the day she came, she appeared for the, you know, she requested the annual $1,500 contribution for 2025. I don't know if you all remember, but at that time she requested the county to consider a one-time $1,000 contribution towards 50% of a cost share for some sort of a marketing grant that they were going to apply for. I haven't heard back that she got that grant, and she didn't invoice for me for it, so I'm assuming she didn't.
Okay.
But I'm that's another one of the things we budgeted
$1,000
for it, and she's asking for 15.
Yeah.
Same thing. Give her the 1,000.
Yeah, that's what we budgeted.
Okay.
They can come back if they get something else going on.
Yeah.
Or she got that grant.
Yeah, and she's never contacted me to tell me that she did get the grant. I'm assuming she didn't. But, you know, we brought this before the committee and everybody approved the numbers on here, so I'm not really sure why we were short of.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm not sure how that happened, but this again, paid the 1,000, and if she.
Yeah, so I'm going to just put 1,000 here.
Okay. She did send a little accomplishment and plans report that I have on file if anyone wants to read it. But that's it. Oh, wait, I do have one more. This invoice for the phone system. In November 2024, $25,000 was paid to Marco for the phone system. It didn't get on Dee's chart.
Yeah, because it got approved through public property, through you guys.
Yeah, so it was approved through public property. It didn't get to Dee for her to put on her chart. So all of that money went back to, you know, the ARPA funds went back to the wages and benefits. So this money was not there for them to come out of that ARPA funds. So $25,000 towards the phone system, it was allocated $225,000, if you remember that. So this is part of that. So I'm just looking for approval today to take that out of the TIF funding because there's no ARPA there anymore. And that's what we were planning on doing anyway with moving forward. So this is just from November, it just didn't get input into her spreadsheet. So.
Yeah, so they paid it out of ARPA, but I wasn't aware of it because it didn't come to you guys. It went to public property.
It was approved from.
In April, I did my state reporting and then came across it. And then I brought it up to Quinn, and Quinn said, I was going to ask you about this. And I said, well, I'm not sure. I said, and I went back to the minutes and found where it went in public property and not you guys. And
so
I think there was just a crossover, and I said, but they know about the phone system. They, you know, they're planning on spending it and out of the TIF money, and she's okay with moving it.
Yep.
So, okay. Yeah. Just asking for approval to do that.
So
thanks, Steve.
We have all the bills and invoices and proposals that we've circulated.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd look for a motion to approve those.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the invoices and proposals as presented and discussed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. That's it for invoices.
Great. Number five, authorization for finance chair to approve jail proposals for change orders. This came out of a meeting, attending a monthly meeting on the jail with the architect and the general contractor, Kramer. And at those meetings, they go through the progress of the jail itself, the construction and everything. And there are some minor changes that have to be made, like on the spot. You just can't wait for a monthly meeting. So, and they don't want to change order every little thing. So what's going to happen is I would, if you guys approve it, I would give that approval, and then sooner or later the whole finance committee will see that whole lump sum in a change order. But again, it's small items, but they need somebody from the county to say it's okay. So I'm attending those meetings on a monthly basis, and anybody else is more than welcome to do that too, but they wanted somebody from the county to be able to say, yeah, it's okay, and not just...
I'll make that motion.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Motion and a second to allow the finance chair to approve the jail proposals that will ultimately become change orders. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carrie, thank you. Dan, opioid policy and process.
All right, so a while back, we had talked about having a better process for opioid funds to be distributed. And so I had approached Mark Peterson about a couple of questions and sent him some documents and talked to WCA, who also recommended that you should have a process where people get funded for a project, but they submit reimbursement requests after being approved so that you're protected as a county in case they don't spend it correctly, that you're not trying to claw money back versus giving money out once it's approved and ready to go. And so I wrote a policy, and I can't remember, Robin, did this get sent out to everybody?
I would have attached it to their...
Anybody see it? It's like a page and a half long.
Well, can you see it through the board of lab?
There's nothing here.
Okay.
Nope, sorry, Dan.
So that's right. I have a copy here for you, Robin, that you can take with an appendix C, so I'll just...
Okay, thank you.
...be there if it's approved. So basically what would happen is that a potential recipient would complete a county opioid application form. They would submit that to the clerk's office. The clerk would then submit it to Health and Human Services, who has a subcommittee to be able to look at these proposals. So at our next scheduled meeting, we would go over any request that was there and say they meet the qualification of what's is allowable in Appendix E of the settlement, the National Opioid Settlement. And if we say that it meets those requirements, we would then send it back to Robin, who would put it on the finance agenda for you guys to have a final approval of saying, yes, we're going to approve this project or no. So that's the basis of the request. Then once somebody is approved for it, they sign a document that says they will spend it as they've been approved, and they will submit a quarterly progress report about how the project is going. They will submit invoices to say this is how we spent it to be reimbursed quarterly as well. And so in the end, they do a final report on their project once it's completed. And anybody who's going to have an ongoing project that goes from year to year would, by November 1st, submit a new application for that funding to continue. Anybody who's asking for a short-term project, they would be approved. They would say, this is what we were approved for. This is what we did. We'd like to be reimbursed. And they would just have one report, basically, about how it went. So that's kind of the synopsis of what's in that policy. A couple of things to think about is, one is, do you want to approve that policy? But then what are you going to do with it? Are you going to put it on the website so that people can see it? Are you going to do some kind of press release to say these opioid funds are out there if there's outside projects that would like to be funded? So those are a couple things to think about today as well.
Mm-hmm. And can you remind us again sort of what kind of money we're talking about?
Sure, yep. So right now, I have that with me today, the unofficial amount, because I keep the unofficial record of the spreadsheet, is we have $267,000 in the opioid account that has come in since 2023. By the end of 2038, it is likely that we will have in the neighborhood of $815,000 that eventually comes into our county for these projects. Exhibit E is the Bible of what things need to be could be approved, and so it's about opioid abatement, and it's about opioid use disorder and co-occurring substance use disorder. So it's one of those things when you see a project that it has to kind of hit those marks in certain ways. So the subcommittee is really excited to be part of it on the Human Services Committee. Actually, I had three volunteers right away, which I was very glad about, and then the Human Services Director will be part of that committee as well to try and offer expertise. But essentially those four people will be trying to make sure that this sounds like a viable project or not.
Sort of like ARPA.
Yes. Yeah, kind of patterned it after that. So yes. So yeah, so that's the kind of money that we're talking about. We approved, and we'll talk about that on the next agenda item. We had approved some expenditures under the old way already, which was to distribute the funding. Jail project of $16,000 a year for additional services, mental health and substance use services in the jail. They just can't find a provider. And so they've been trying to go through their contract agency, and to my knowledge, last time I checked, they still didn't have anybody to be able to provide those additional services. Opioid funds can't be used to necessarily supplant other things too, so if you're doing something, it's a new project, so you can't just roll it into something that you're doing already. And then the other project was the drop-in center that was a peer recovery model, and so that we'll talk about in a minute too.
So can you give me a little background on one?
Sure.
Is this gather the opioids that are out there to get and are helping to bring people away from opioid use? Or?
So I can't remember what year it was. I heard that counties were looking at suing the opioid manufacturers for malfeasance, basically marketing things, saying that they weren't addictive, that they were better than Tylenol, ibuprofen, those kind of things, without having to worry about anything either, and that was not true. And so there's been a nationwide lawsuit that Crawford County became part of, and there's been those companies, a lot of the companies have decided they're going to settle those lawsuits and then distribute these funds nationwide. So I can't remember what percentage of the settlement we are. It's a pretty small fraction, but it is meant to offset the damage that has been done. And so that's why this Appendix C is, Exhibit E is about, here are all the approved uses that would help combat the opioid epidemic. It could be prevention services to be able to say, let's stop, you know, where we are right now and make sure nobody else is harmed. It could be intervention services for those that are suffering from that. It could be ongoing support for those people who've stopped but need the continued support to be able to stay clean. So, so it's pretty wide along that piece, but also specific in the areas that you need to target.
Okay.
So, a couple questions, Dan. One, the first question is, in Crawford County, it appears to me that the biggest problem is methamphetamines. Mm-hmm. But do we have us? Can you gauge the opioid situation in Crawford County?
Sure. And so this is something that's taking place over time, right? So when opioids came out, there was a lot of practices that led to problems in our county as well that have morphed and changed. Mm-hmm. So I remember sitting in years ago with Senator Baldwin coming down to talk about opioids. And there was prescribing practices that were taking place that doctors were commenting on, that they're almost incentivized to be able to give opioids to people to treat their pain so they get a better score for their satisfaction, so the insurance company reimburses better. Those kind of things were allegedly taking place. And so when somebody gets hooked on a prescription opioid, that only runs so long. And so what the counties in the western side of the state have found is that when opioids are no longer available, methamphetamine was a cheaper alternative. And so some people turned to street drugs, whether it was heroin or whether it was methamphetamines or other kinds of things. So there's been kind of this shift in some areas to be able to say that opioids are not the direct thing that people are looking for, but at the same time it did impact our community. There's lots of people who had substance use issues that included opioid abuse. So when we see somebody who comes into our clinic and they get their history, they may be methamphetamine now, but they have a history of opioids as well, or other drugs that go along with that. I think the current situation in our community is that fentanyl is now something that's very prevalent, and whether it's something that people are looking for is to abuse as a prescription, that's one thing, but it's also mixed into a lot of other things. And so there's lots of education about if you are using substances, that maybe you test your substances, because the accidental overdoses from fentanyl being mixed into drugs is a really serious issue as well. We have said, the directors in the western side of the state have said, our problem is methamphetamines. You know, could you change this to be able to help intervene with that as well? But these dollars are directly tied to that lawsuit and therefore targeted for those things. But they recognize it, I believe, in saying that it's for opioid use disorder and co-occurring substance use disorders, because there's lots of times there's multiple things happening. So that's probably the best answer I can give today, that where it is. If you'd asked 10 years ago, it probably would have been, you know, a little different answer.
So in looking at Exhibit E, which is extensive, it came to mind, you know, I'm just thinking about how much money we have or how much money we'll have over time. And then and the idea, you know, like I'm on ADRC, and we share, counties share specific people who have an expertise, like for treating opioids maybe. So my thought was, would it be reasonable to think that maybe we would employ someone or some agency on a multi-county, or a, you know, say, you know, of Vernon, Crawford, and share someone who's an expert at that stuff, and, and would that be money well spent?
Yeah, I think it really could be, and I think anything in Exhibit E, I think you can see anytime you're adding therapy or you're adding services, that's pretty categorically approved throughout that. So that is something that you could do. I know that there's been a push from legislators to say, can you do something regional? And be spending these dollars better. There's actually a grant opportunity that's kind of out there right now where you can't supplant anything you're doing right now, but there's a place in New York that will match opioid fund, opioid dollars up to $100,000 to get certain projects off the ground. In Wisconsin, it's for 1 year only. That's attractive, except for you have to add a service as well, and then you have to sustain it after that. And so I think there's some companies that have looked at that, and I reported out last Friday that it was just really specific, and there's things that they thought would qualify that that other agency wouldn't match on because it didn't meet their values or something like that. So, I mean, I think that that is definitely something that you could really, I think companies could really take advantage of and stretch those dollars. So, certainly.
And actually, too, in, from a financial standpoint, when we do regional or county, you know, when we do regional approach, some of those dollars are not then under the levy limit. So we have more flexibility if we have these county agreements, so these joint agreements or multi-county agreements. They fall outside. It's like debt. They fall outside the. So we have a little more freedom. I mean, it's our choice. We're still spending money, but. We do have the choice rather than, oh, we can't do that because we just are constrained by the levy limit. So, again, that approach might be, we might, like you said, better spend our dollars that way.
Yeah, and I think I've said before in this group, it sounds like a lot of money. You know, but this $800,000 is will be come to full fruition by 2038. And so what we kind of bring in is just estimating, you know, we've got this initial push because some, like Janssen, paid 5 years in advance and another person paid 3 years in advance. So a lot of that money came in up front, but typically we would be bringing in about between $30,000 and $50,000 a year to this. So as you think about approving projects, you know, if you were to do a regional effort like that, it may be eating up the entire piece, you know, of that, depending on how much that would be in each county's buy-in. So I think when we also talk about regional piece, having experience with some regional things, it's a challenge also. I know that when larger counties are your partners, they take up a more of the service as well. And so if you look at some regional pieces, it's trying to make sure that there's assurances for Crawford County that we get the same level of service as the probably the lead county or the hub county or however it's set up. And it's certainly worth exploring, you know, if there's ideas. And I think if you're looking at a regional concept, you know, it's important to get together with who your partners are going to be and say, what's the most effective way that we could use these dollars to give us the best bang for our buck as far as the services go or prevention services go, to be able to kind of plan that out.
Right.
It's possible some of these counties didn't take up the lawsuit either.
There was one county in Wisconsin who didn't.
So, oh, is that right?
So as they talk about this money coming into the state, there's one county in Wisconsin who's just sitting there.
Kicking himself.
Yeah. You know, and I think that was part of the pitch when I brought it up was, I don't think we want to be the person who, you know, because there were some chuckles when we signed on to the lawsuit, just from the standpoint of, is this really,
well, I didn't think it was gonna
is
get
this
something.
Really going to get to the point really where somebody takes responsibility for what has occurred? And how many ever years later, that is what happened. And so I'm glad that we did it. It's a good problem to have, to say we have this resource and how can it be best spent on helping the people in our community avoid bad consequences or recover from those. So, you know, but yeah, I know when we signed on, I was even kind of like, well, we're hedging our bets here a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Do you have a time limit to spend? Like ARPA, we had us cut off.
No, these funds never expire. And that's, and just so you know, also there's been recently some push that counties are not spending these fast enough. And I think that from a legislative standpoint, Wisconsin is unique in that they created a law that said counties will get 70% of these and the state will get 30%. That was by far the best percentage in the country to be distributed directly to counties. But also legislators want to say, well, you got the money, so what are you doing with it? And like for us, I'm not in any hurry to be able to spend it. I want to see it spent on good things. And maybe there's other people who have better ideas than what we come up with. So that's a challenge as well. But you know, I like the idea of a regional piece, but then it's like, okay, so who's gonna organize that? And what's the project that you're thinking of, you know, to regionalize? Is it gonna be treatment focused? Is it gonna be prevention focused? Is it gonna be a clinic focused? It's going to be contracting with somebody to do this specifically. So those are all big questions that come up when you start kind of digging into it. So
today we should, I saw that. I've been dealing with Dan on this issue. So, and I saw that it went back and forth between Mark and Dan and corporate counsels signed off on the policy and the application and the procedure. It's just basically us signing off on how it's all going to work. And I guess I would make a motion that we approve the policy and procedures for the opioid settlement funding as presented by Dan.
Okay, a second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Dan, who's on the subcommittee?
It is Brad Steiner, Linda Munson, and Joyce Roth. And then me.
And then, so these applications or the requests for the funds would come to me. I would give them to one of you members.
You can just give them to me.
Okay.
And then I will arrange that we have a meeting as soon as our next meeting occurs.
Okay.
To be able to kind of give that recommendation that it meets the requirements or not.
And then you said you were questioning how you wanted to get it out there to the public.
Yeah, or do you want to?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anything that necessarily says you have to. And again, the conversation is how much funds do you really have here? Mm-hmm. At this point in time, you've got 260 that you're dealing with more to come in probably each year. And so is it sufficient? ARPA funding was huge, much more money, and that came in all at once and had more flexibility. So that's a decision I think that you guys can make. As far as putting on the website, I think that's good to show that we have a policy and it's there.
And I would think that you would just, initially talk to your community partners. I mean, you guys are always talking about issues, and this is one.
Yep.
And, you know, start that way. Mm-hmm. And then if you feel like you have your feet on the ground and you kind of have a direction, then I think you could do something more explicit as far as advertising or...
That sounds good.
Yeah.
You brought up the regional concept. Have you been talking to anybody in other counties? Or
no, it was just after you gave me all the material and I read through that Exhibit E, mm-hmm. I just was thinking about, Richland and us, mm-hmm. and, you know, some of the poorer, smaller counties who are getting these not sizable amounts, but, you know, would and how, and the model that, I guess, ADRC, I'm on ADRC, mm-hmm. that is already in place, that... Maybe that's the way to do it.
Sure. But I'll reach out to Richland. They have a new director now. I believe their human services director went to their county administrator job, and I think they've now filled their director position. So I certainly can start with them and just reach out to see what they're doing with their funds, or if they've thought of any regional concepts, just to start exploring with one of those partners.
So number seven is Peer Recovery Center drop in quarterly reporting clarification.
Yes, so last year we approved that project for $20,000. This is a project that they've been working on, and I am a guest at their committee meetings and talking about opioid fundings and those kind of things. And so they're actually at a point now where they're ready probably to start extending funds. And so their request is that they could have that $20,000 distributed, as was indicated last year, for this project, and be able to start spending it. So I'd suggest that we approve that, so let's go ahead. The project hasn't changed, it's just been strengthened, and that they go under a reporting mechanism that they have to report quarterly as to how they're spending those funds.
So you would distribute $20,000 for 2024 and then $20,000 for 2025?
I think for 2024, we approved it in 2024, right?
Yeah.
I think we do $20,000 for 2025.
Okay, so you weren't going to
apply again. Yeah.
Okay. I remember you. That was a question they wondered if they could use.
I think they would love to have more if possible, but at this point in time, they now have a location. And so they're going to really start to be doing some stuff. So I think we've got how many months left with this year? Not that they need to spend it by the end of the year. They have probably unlimited time to spend it, but to distribute that 1 year of funding.
So we need a motion to approve that distribution, $20,000 for 2025.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion and a second to approve the disbursement of the $20,000 for the Peer Recovery Center. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Number eight, sale of Chromebooks revenue. Thanks, Dan. Susan.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I am Susan Hooker from the Treatment Coordinator. We had a bunch of Chromebooks that were obsolete, and this happened before I was on board. But there was a approval from personal property to be able to sell them. So I sold the ones that current participants are not using. So I still have two out there. And the funds that we collected were $325. I checked with Dee, and they were purchased in 2022 with ARPA funds. Treatment Court can be a revenue account. We can't be a revenue program. So for this $325, I need to put it somewhere. Some suggestions were that maybe I could use it for incentives for the participants in the program. Alternatively, that could go back into IT. So I just want to know what I should do with them and what would be approved.
Yeah, so I think, you know, Susan would love to have them for her peer support, for her clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her real request, unless you guys, you know, feel it should go back in IT. But iPads you purchased.
Yes.
After that, did that come from the county or state?
The iPad purchases, I do not know. We do not have them on hand yet.
Okay.
So I don't have any details on the new iPads.
Okay. It could be a wash that way, or the flip side is that she has to have a county match on her end, where we have to spend so much to her program and she has to report the county side. So this $300, it's not a lot of money. It would give her a reporting mechanism to say that we also had put this money towards it on the county side. And then it's nothing that she has to come up with more expenses from us because she sold these.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like the incentive spending, I mean,
right now our incentives are very few and far between. I mean, we do have a budgeted amount that the county is supposed to match, but right now I have been reaching out to the community more for the feedback and getting incentives that way. What I would like to do, if this is approved, I would like to do activity-based ideas, which would mean Hoffman Hall passes, or a gym membership, or bowling or movie passes versus food or groceries or gas. So that would be what I, if the $325, it's activity-based incentives for our current participants.
Yeah, and the state used to do incentives and they just did away with it.
Yes.
So before they could claim the incentives that the participant activities were, you know, and what she says is it gets her clients out away from the bars and finding something more social to do, maybe with their family, maybe with other participants, just to keep them realizing that there's other.
Well, and to do the activity-based, this would also, when the participants are out, this would bring awareness to our program as well, which is the idea in the community.
I think it's a great idea to do it that way. $300 in the IT budget's not going to be. So I think this will do a much
better,
have more impact. Yeah. Let's put it that way. So I look for a motion to approve the request of Susan's.
Make a motion.
Second.
So a motion and a second to approve the spending of the $325 in the activity-based. Whatever, however you want to describe it.
Great, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, carried.
Well, and before Susan goes, you know how hard I've had it with the treatment program. I just want you to know that she's doing a phenomenal job. Dan's agreeing here. We've been extremely impressed by her, and we're very lucky to have her.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's great to hear. Thanks. Thanks.
No pressure.
Right.
Okay. So, number nine is D. I'll let you finish your conversation up there.
Okay, really quick here. I'll only be like 10 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. So, if you guys, I'll just have you take one and pass them down. So it's my usual reporting for the sales and wheel tax.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You see the wheel tax fluctuates like it always does, depending on the month, but so there's always never any word there. And then the sales tax, I believe, is up this month, even over our five-year average for the month of April.
It's all good news.
Yeah. This next report you guys have is the jail project. The first page shows what we've spent year to date on phase one with what's remaining. It also shows you the interest on the right side that we have earned. And then the second page is phase two, because we've received that money, but we're really not spending anything out of it. I thought you guys could at least be updated on the interest side.
That's good.
You're already earning interest on that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Yep.
So this down here, D, is 1.4. That's what is left.
Correct.
Or the yeah out of the 13 million.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And then we'll move into and that includes today's
includes.
Robin gave me the amount ahead of time, so that what you're approving today, so that does include today's.
Yep.
So by next month we'll probably be moving into phase two.
Yeah. That's great.
And then the other thing I have on the agenda under C is the ARPA revenues. So I didn't do printouts for you guys, but in our interest of ARPA, we had earned $73,734.78. And Gary, you can have this printout if you want.
Okay.
So I asked Quinn, what do we do with it now that we're done? And she said she could move it in the TIF account. She said she could put it anywhere, but I recommended the TIF closeout account. She said that I told her I didn't feel like it was my position to tell her, but I would get your approval, and it's probably the account that you guys access easily the most for to be able to apply whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do choose to move it into the TIF closeout, it'll put that account at 193,000, something. And then that does not include the $25,000 we're removing today.
Right, right.
If you want it somewhere else, then we just need to let Quinn know, because she's gonna do it on the 2024 budget, because we closed our file in 2020.
What was that, oh, was it the $73,000?
Yeah, the bottom one there.
Okay, sorry, I just wondered. I have it in my office, but, okay.
So if you have any other ideas, or if you agree about the tip, so then you can just use it. We did talk about with the phone system, and it kinda gives you that question.
Yeah, right, and we still have internet possibility too, that's out there.
Yeah.
So this is good. The $73,000, because it's interest from ARPA, does it carry the same ARPA?
No.
Oh, okay, so it's now ours.
It's now ours, yep.
Okay, that's good.
So we're not on any regulations of how we spend it, and so that's why,
That's good for you too, because otherwise you'd have to.
Right, I'm done reporting.
Yeah,
so in April I did my final report, everything balanced except for the one bill you guys took care of this morning, and we'll see if the state comes a knocking in the next 5 years to audit us.
Yeah. Okay, so do we need a motion for, yeah.
I'll make a motion, we put transfer into the TIF account at $73,000, whatever it is.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Motion and a second to transfer the $73,734.78 to TIF from ARPA. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, then are we going down to the county clerk?
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah. So,
Clear Government Budget Cycle Management?
Yeah, so ClearGov has been, has been reaching out to me since I first started as county clerk, wanting to know if I would be interested in a platform, for a budget cycle management platform where you'd input the numbers into this budget cycle and it could create like different charts and graphs and a lot less room for error. What I use right now is a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet that Janet or somebody had created before her. I input numbers and there's formulas in there that don't get saved and get mixed up or get deleted somehow when I add lines or delete lines. It's fine, it works. But I just, you know, thought I'd listen to this lady's spiel. Because I told her when she first approached me years ago that I didn't have enough budget cycles under my belt to kind of even consider this and see how it would work. So I finally listened to her. It's pricey. There's a one-time setup fee of $5,400. This is all cloud-based program. And then it's like $12,800 a year after that. She has a full package that includes like capital improvements, budget cycle, and something else, and it was quite expensive. And I said if I would be interested, or if the finance committee would be interested, we would be interested in just doing the, you know, most basic, like just doing our operation budget and testing it out first to see what we think of it. So the other part of that bundle was a capital budgeting and personnel budgeting. She gave me a quote. She said if we were interested in this year, she would prorate it and it would be like $7,400 plus your one-time setup fee. And if you're interested more, she would be, available to come to a meeting and show you a demonstration of how it works. I gave all the information to Gary to have him take a look at it. I know a lot of things that Gary asks, you know, or wants us to provide him, we kind of just put together, well, Rose puts together now, just kind of pieces things together that shows him, you know, what the revenues are compared to what the expenditures are, and it's not always what you're looking for, it's not always clear cut. I think that, you know, this, of course, would be clear cut. It would tell you, you know, how much is coming out, how much is going in. It would, but again, it's very, very pricey. It's not my call. I can continue doing it the way you get, you prefer, or, I mean, the way I've been doing it. But I just thought I would.
To keep doing the way you're doing until, or, and budget this for next year if you think it's important enough to do it. That's what I think. Okay. There's no sense in making a decision today. I mean,
yep.
You know what I mean?
Would you be interested in her coming and showing you guys a demonstration at a future meeting?
I would.
Yeah.
And are there other counties that you know of? That?
Yeah, I know Oconto County uses it. There are some other, like a city, I think like the city of Menasha or something uses it. She did give me some links that I can go on. This is something that is you can also post on your website, and the public can, you know, look at different charts as well. And they'd be, you know, it'd be very transparent for them to see what's going on in the government or in the county finance department.
This is another layer above your accounting system, correct?
Yes.
So your accounting system stays the same, but
yes.
this is a sort of a separate.
It's a separate. Yeah, it's totally separate. It's a budget management. So.
So you can grab information from your accounting system and. Mm-hmm. Hopefully put it on this platform. Is that how it would
yes.
work?
Yes, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with Greg in the sense that I'm telling everybody to not spend any money.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, if it was yep. August, I would say, okay, let's, you know, for next year, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I agree, I think. But I think it's, you know, going to be, the next time we meet, it's June. It's like,
oh, we're going to be well into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it, so. Maybe it's appropriate to have her come and make a pitch and show us what, I think it's, you know, I always say a picture is worth a thousand words, and a lot of times people are looking for, they don't understand all, you know, you throw all these numbers at them, you know, mm-hmm. 27 pages of numbers, but if you show them a graph or, you know,
yeah, I a agree. Diagram. I agree. I feel like when I give you those reports,
it's kind of like,
they're hard to understand, and I
yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I just throw them at you and you let you guys review it and ask questions if you need to. But
yeah, so you know what her schedule is.
Mm-hmm.
If she can make it, even if she, you know,
yeah, I explained that she can do a Zoom presentation as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know, you know, we do have that technology fund to let you guys know. That's what you know, the contingency, whatever was left in the contingency fund, was rolled into that technology fund. So we do have that fund that Connie and I kind of use for special things that aren't included in her budget. So
right.
But yeah, so no action needed to be taken. I guess I just needed to bring it to your guys' attention, and I guess just see if you wanted to have her do a demonstration. And so I think that's
yeah.
Okay, so like with next month, maybe there's
yeah,
whenever, two meetings next
yeah,
month.
Yeah, you look at the meetings and see if there's one that's got more stuff on it or less, and maybe since she's going to take some time, put it on the one where we have less stuff.
Okay, and then like Greg said, if we're interested, we would possibly include, you know,
in the budget
into
in the budget.
2026 budget.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And then so we have the fixed asset policy amendment too.
Yeah, so when the auditors were here, Chloe brought to my attention that Chloe Stagman, one of the auditors from Johnson Black, said that the capitalization project that we, capitalization policy that we have on file is, the amount to be used is based on $5,000 for capital. Anything above that, it would be considered a capital item. She said the federal guidelines have changed and increased the threshold to $10,000 in October of 2024, and our current policy is still at $5,000. She is just recommending that we amend our capitalization policy and increase it to be in line with the federal guidelines and lift that $5,000 threshold up to $10,000. So I just told her I would bring it to the finance committee and get your input. And if you guys want me to, I can reach out to Corporation Council and have them do an amendment.
Amendment and bring it back to county board?
And then, yep, it would have to go before full county board.
Yeah.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second. Motion and a second to approve the amendment to the fixed asset policy to meet federal guidelines. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Hopefully I can get a light under his, fire under his butt and get it to us for next county board meeting. So I would bring it to the June 4th meeting when we're preparing the agenda.
But it shouldn't take much to change that.
No, it shouldn't. It's 5 to 10, right? Yeah.
Call Michael.
I do that a lot.
So do I.
So, okay, perfect.
Next meeting is June 4th at 9:00 and we'll set the county board agenda and I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thanks, guys. You're all sick.
I got a brand new Ford Maverick pickup.
Usually I would.